Hello, today we are going to discuss about consensus scientific statement on advisory working guidelines and recommendations for female population in COVID era by Vinkars. We are presently facing a rapid progression and uncontrolled spread and uncertain management of the COVID pandemic. There are national and international guidelines in general for the diagnosis and the management of the COVID and precautions needed for the non-COVID patients. There is a gender disparity in the mortality due to the COVID-19, which is less in women than in the men. However, many diseases are specific to like a pregnancy-related complications and ovarian carcinoma are more frequently seen in females, that is, many rheumatological diseases and mitral stenosis, which are sparsely discussed in any other forums. Moreover, recommendations are not available for Indian population. We from Vinkars, that is Women in Cardiology and the Related Sciences, prepared a consensus scientific statement for female population in this COVID era. The main aim of this scientific statement preparation is the first, to assemble the evidence of different diseases pertinent to the female population in this COVID era and formulate advisory guidelines and recommendations for a medical fraternity and the patients. Second one is to highlight the topics of attention specific to female healthcare workers that require attention and formulate advisory recommendations. We use the Delphi technique for the scientific paper preparation. It is done by the 23 scientific committee members from the different departments throughout in India. The main purpose and the clinical application of scientific statements is these are prepared with a significant knowledge of a subspecialties to ensure that women patients will be managed appropriately, timely and effectively. The expertise of these subspecialized medical branches domain is covered elsewhere or not included in this statement. First, I will start with a cardiology. Mainly, it is a four statements on the four different topics statements are available. First one is on the cardiovascular disease and the COVID-19 concern issues in the women. Though ACC and AHA and ESC medical bodies release recommendations and statements on acute coronary syndrome presentation in COVID patients, here we are discussing a specific problems related to the women with COVID patients with particular attention to the Indians. First statement. The association between the diabetes and the risk of the death from COVID-19 is more in women than in men. Second, incidence of myocardial injury is no different in men and women and is associated with increased mortality. Three, diagnosis of acute coronary syndromes in setting of a COVID-19 is further confounded in women and is fraught with delays in presentation and dilemmas in the management, more so in the woman. 4. Point care of antigen testing should be done before a primary PCI in ST segment elevation patients. 6. A strategy of fibrinolysis in the STMI and COVID-19 in India is an acceptable alternative, especially in women as non-obstructive coronary artery disease incidence is high. Second topic is on the venous thromboembolism in the COVID. ISH, ISTH, NATF, IUA consensus paper and multiple medical bodies published on the pro-thrombotic state of COVID-19, predisposing these patients for the VTE. In this, we mention the prophylaxis and the management specifically for all ages of the females with the COVID-19. First statement, a less female predilection for the VTE in the COVID pandemic is observed. 2. Combined oral contraceptives and estrogen replacement therapy should be discouraged in COVID-positive women to prevent VTE. 3. Thromboprophylaxis in a standard dose is a must in all COVID-positive hospitalized women, even with a low bleeding risk to continue during menstrual period time also. 4. Thromboprophylaxis in the intensified doses is recommended in the COVID-positive hospitalized women with deranged hematological and clinical parameters of the disease severity. 5. COVID-positive women on home quarantine should receive thromboprophylaxis only when the high-risk VTE is there. 6. extended thromboprophylaxis post-discharge is recommended in COVID-positive women with a high VTE risk and low bleeding risk. The third component in the cardiology discussed is the cardio-obstetric risk indicators. Recently, preventive medicine is paying much importance to cardio-obstetrics risk stratification for the future onset of CVD in pregnant females. As there is a limited information about the effect of COVID and pregnancy, which may influence the mother's long-term cardiac health, though these statements are trying to fulfill these knowledge gaps. The first statement, low-dose aspirin as a prophylaxis for placental complications, including a preeclampsia and fetal growth restriction, should not be withdrawn in the high-risk COVID-19 pregnant woman in fear of increased risk of SARS-CoV-2 progression. 2. COVID-19 infection in pregnant women does not lead to greater incidence of obstetric complications like a preterm birth or preeclampsia. 3. Near-term pregnant or postpartum women with a COVID-19 pneumonia developing a high respiratory rate or dyspnea should be evaluated for new onset cardiomyopathy with the help of handheld point of care of echocardiogram. 4. Pregnant women with a severe COVID-19 infection can develop a preeclampsia-like syndrome that might be distinguished from the actual preeclampsia by additional estimation of biomarkers. 6. All pregnant women admitted with a COVID-19 infection should be considered for antenatal VTE prophylaxis, while those with a mild COVID-19 infection and on home isolation should undergo VTE risk assessment to decide about a VTE prophylaxis. The fourth topic in the cardiology is a drug and drug disease interaction in the females with a COVID-19. Treatment protocols of COVID-19 are still evolving. In this, we are mentioned the indications between the interactions between the COVID drugs and other drugs taken by the patient, by the female patients for their gender-specific diseases. The first statement is, caution to be exercised when administering hydroxychloroquine to breastfeeding women. 2. To avoid a strict monitoring in the COVID-19 patients already on warfarin, conversion of warfarin to the direct oral anticoagulant is advised, except in pregnant or breastfeeding women or on the mechanical valves or severe mitral stenosis or a triple positive antiphospholipid syndrome. Third statement is, tocilizumab may be given to the COVID-19 pregnant woman if risk versus benefit favors drug usage, but not for a lactating woman. If it is essential for the lactating woman, then better discontinue breastfeeding. Remdesivir and phosphodiesterase inhibitors both affect each other, as both are MRP4 inhibitors. 4. Monitoring for the side effects of favipiravir is required, as the drug levels are increased in patients when given along with the estrogen receptor modulators. There are the two statements are made in the internal medicine. One is on the clinical spectrum of the COVID-19 and other one is on the management of the COVID-19. About the clinical spectrum, as there are already existing review on the different medical bodies' experiences for a typical clinical presentation of the COVID-19 in the form of influenza-like illness in the literature, we aim to concentrate on the few of the other important clinical component of the COVID-19 which require a special attention and have not yet received much attention, like new onset lung fibrosis later on, prominent gastrointestinal involvement, and the role of an androgen hormone in the clinical symptomatology. The first statement is, all COVID-19 patients with a moderate to severe lung involvement shall be closely followed and evaluated for post-COVID-19 pulmonary complications with a follow-up pulmonary function test and CT scan to assess for the new onset pulmonary fibrosis, to target for timely antifibrotic therapies. 2. Patients presenting with only GIT symptoms like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea shall be evaluated for COVID-19 infection even in the absence of respiratory symptoms during the onset of COVID-19 pandemic. Third, males with an androgenic pattern are more susceptible to COVID-19 infection and that too with a high severity. The scientific statements on the management of the COVID are, there are already existing guidelines by the ICMR and hospital-based management guidelines on this. Here we are mentioning about a scientific statements in the controversy areas of treatment of steroids, remdesivir or tocilizumab along with the laboratory investigations. The first statement, elevated or rising D-dimer levels along with a worsening hypoxemia may indicate ongoing thrombosis and need to be treated with a prophylactic or therapeutic dose of anticoagulants. 2. Patients hospitalized with COVID-19 with hypoxemia, glucocorticoids are used. The dose of the dexamethasone is 6 mg IV or oral for 10 days or till the discharge. Third statement, consider the use of remdesivir for 5 days in a patient with a moderate COVID disease not on mechanical ventilation. Fourth, consider tocilizumab in the context of the clinical trials. There are about 4 topics covered in the gynecology and obstetrics, and the statements are written on that. The scientific statements and the gynecological practice during the COVID-19 are already available by the AGOS, American Gynecological and Obstetrical Society, and the Federation of the Obstetric and Gynecological Society of India lay down the guidelines for the gynecological practices in this COVID era. This scientific statement's main aim is the adoption of standard gynecological practices for pre- and post-menopausal bleeding to our local geographical area. These statements are, first, patients with a heavy menstrual bleeding should be managed medically when feasible unless the patient present with acute or intractable bleeding severe to cause anemia requiring blood transfusion. 2. A patient with a postmenopausal bleeding and low risk of the malignancy with a normal ultrasound can be offered reassurance and advised to report a persistent or a recurrent symptoms as the risk of malignancy in these patients is relatively low. The scientific statements are the gynecological endoscopic surgery. Already the BSGE, that is British Society of the Gynecological Endoscopy, published guidelines on these endoscopic surgeries during this COVID pandemic. In this, we mainly concentrated on the preoperative screening strategies before gynecological endoscopic surgery for the safety of the operating room, surgical smoke generation during the gynecological endoscopy, and the risk of transmission of infection and the alternative treatment. First statement, preoperative clinical screening for the symptoms of the COVID-19 and nasopharyngeal swab for reverse transcriptase polymerase chain reaction are recommended. However, computerized tomography of the chest and the above investigations can be performed to increase the further sensitivity for the diagnosing the COVID-19. Second, the theoretical risk of dispersion of the COVID-19 by the carbon dioxide used to create a pneumoperitoneum from the patient's abdomen to the outside environmental air has to be considered. Effective systems should be in place for a proper smoke evacuation and filtration. 3. Gynecological endoscopy surgery can be considered to be safe when performed cautiously with the usage of personal protective equipment. However, alternative routes of surgery like a laparotomy and vaginal surgery can be considered in appropriate situations, especially when the resources are limited. And there are a few more statements on the infection during the pregnancy. In this, mainly we concentrated on the vertical transmission of the COVID to fetus in utero, the need of for universal testing of the COVID-19 before entering the labor room, and a preferred mode of delivery in a COVID-positive pregnant ladies. First statement, COVID-19 infection during a pregnancy may produce a more severe symptom. Pregnant women with a high risk category require a more attention as these women are at a higher risk of developing a severe illness. 3. All pregnant women should be screened for the signs and symptoms of the COVID-19. 4. there is a possibility of the vertical transmission from the mother to fetus in utero or during childbirth. 5. Mode of birth should not be influenced by the presence of the COVID-19 unless woman's respiratory condition demands urgent delivery. 5. Universal testing of the pregnant woman for COVID-19 at admission to the lab suit is required. About infertility, the statements, there is a controversy that infertility treatment is not an urgent modality of the treatment. Then, should that be encouraged during this pandemic or not? The scientific statement concerned about this topic are, first, infertility in vitro fertilization services should be reopened, especially for the patients with a decreased ovarian reserve and those requiring a fertility preservation such as the cancer survivors, after a proper counseling and individualizing the case. The COVID testing should be done on the day 2 of the cycle before ovarian stimulation and should be repeated 24 hours prior to the ovarian trigger. 3. The husband also needs to be tested at least once during the cycle. 5. COVID testing should be done for all the patients undergoing infertility related procedures such as semen analysis, hysterosalpingography, hysteroscopy, laparoscopy, ovulation induction, intrauterine insemination. And about the endocrinology, mainly the management of the endocrine diseases in the COVID, the statements, first one is, here we are discussing the management modalities and the follow-up of a non-pregnant and pregnant woman with diabetes. Including the gestational diabetes, insulin should be a mainstay of the hyperglycemia treatment in a woman who develop a moderate to severe COVID-19 infection. 2. Pregnant women should continue to receive optimal diabetes care during the pandemic with advice on nutrition, self-monitoring of the blood glucose and insulin therapy wherever it is required. To minimize the chances of inadvertent exposure to infection during the clinic visits, telemedicine services should be considered for all pregnant women with diabetes for remote monitoring of glycemic control and insulin dose titration. 3. For routine screening of the pregnant woman for gestational diabetes mellitus, alternative screening strategies such as the fasting plasma glucose greater than or equal to 100 mg per deciliter and glycosylated hemoglobin greater than or equal to 5.7% should be considered in place of the oral glucose tolerance test to minimize the chance of exposure of the pregnant woman to the COVID-19 infection. 4. Women with an adrenal insufficiency who developed a COVID-19 infection need to increase the dose of the glucocorticoids to reduce the adrenal crisis risk. In the case of severe infection or clinical deterioration, intravenous glucocorticoid 50 mg every 6 hours or as a continuous infusion should be then administered. Another important disease where the more common in the females is the rheumatological diseases. The scientific statements in them, the first one, in this scientific statement on the risk of the COVID-19 patients with the rheumatological disease, a treatment of the COVID-19 patients with the rheumatological disease like a drug dosage adjustments and the continuation of essential drugs were made. The first statement is the risk of COVID-19 in rheumatological disease is similar or slightly higher than that of the general population, especially in the non-SLE systemic autoimmune disease. Even though there is a higher risk of ICU admission and respiratory failure in the patient with the rheumatological diseases who developed the COVID-19 than controls, the mortality is similar to the non-rheumatological patients. 3. All treatment drugs should be continued in the rheumatological disease patients during COVID-19 infection. Biological DMARDs, that is disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs, and targeted synthetic DMARDs, except tocilizumab, may be interrupted if required. There is no clear evidence that there is increased risk of the COVID in patients on biologics or a targeted synthetic DMARDs or an immunosuppression. There are the two scientific, scientific statements are available in the two topics. First one is on the gynecological cancer. Scientific statements, here we are discussing about the cervical cancer, endometrial cancer, epithelial ovarian cancer management during the COVID-19. The one, first statement is, cervical cancer is aggressive malignancy with a good potential for cure in the localized stages, should be treated without a delay even during the pandemic. Two, management of the woman with the endometrial cancer during the COVID-19 pandemic should be based on the risk stratification. 3. Management of the patients with the epithelial ovarian cancers should be individualized during the COVID-19 pandemic based on the risk versus benefit. And another statement is available on the breast cancers. I'm going to talk about the how we have to take care of the breast cancer patient during the COVID-19 pandemic. These scientific statements are on the diagnostic and staging procedures, surgical decisions and adjuvant post-operative radiation and systemic therapies in the breast cancer patients. First statement, diagnostic and staging procedure for a suspected case of the breast cancer should be prioritized and any delay should be avoided. 2. Surgical decision in the patient with the breast cancer should be based on the disease biology and the risk stratification. 3. Adjuvant post-operative radiation should not be delayed for the breast cancer patients with high risk features. 4. Decision regarding the systemic therapies in the breast cancer during the COVID-19 pandemic should be weigh the risk versus the benefit. Scientific statements on the COVID-19 infection and the neurological disorders in the woman. In this, scientific statements are the made on thrombolytic therapy in pregnant and non-pregnant women with stroke and the risk of developing a cerebral venous thrombosis in women with COVID-19. The first statement, 1. Thrombolytic therapy is probably indicated in those eligible COVID-19 suspect or positive women with acute ischemic stroke who are menstruating and do not have a history of the menorrhagia after ruling out an additional contraindications like coagulopathy. 2. Thrombolytic therapy for a moderate and severe stroke may be considered in pregnant COVID-19 suspect or positive women when the likely benefit of a stroke treatment outweigh the anticipating bleeding. 3. SARS-CoV-2 infection may further increase the risk of development of cerebral venous thrombosis in women consuming oral contraceptives. In the preventive medicine, the major statements are made on the healthcare workers. Nearly 70% of the healthcare workers are the female in the COVID-19 pandemic. Special attention to be paid to the female healthcare workers. Here, the scientific statements are the menstrual health hygiene while using PPE kits and hydroxychloroquine prophylaxis for the female healthcare workers are mentioned. First statement, the wearing the PPE kits for the long duration, that is 8 hours or more in a female healthcare workers, lead to a problem in the menstrual health and the hygiene. Hence, duty hours should be reduced to 4 hours while simultaneously ensuring the MHH and wash facilities. 2. Hydroxychloroquine prophylaxis should be recommended to the all the healthcare workers working in the COVID and non-COVID healthcare settings for 8 weeks or more. 3. Hydroxychloroquine prophylaxis in female healthcare workers during pregnancy should be continued. 4. Relative infant dose RID must be the critical parameter and should be calculated if the HCQ prophylaxis need to be given in lactating healthcare worker for a post-exposure prophylaxis. 5. Menstrual hygiene materials and painkillers should be available to the female patients quarantined in the healthcare facilities or COVID-19 design centers and training of the caretakers and support of the water sanitation and the hygiene. 6. Materials for maintaining the menstrual health and the hygiene should be available in sufficient quantities for the female healthcare workers during the menstruation. This should be provided by the health department and the facility to avoid the woman bleeding in PPE suits during the menstruation or to avoid unwilling suppression of the menstruation or oral contraceptives. The last statements are on the research-based one. And in this scientific statement on the recent advances, the genomic sequence of a SARS-CoV-2 causes for the female gender protection and the male gender predilections are the mentioned. The first statement, the disparity in the COVID-19 infection in the severity of the disease or mortality does not seem to be because of the difference in the virus, that is a difference class. 2. Men get a higher SARS-CoV-2 infections than women due to the higher levels of the ACE2 on the lung epithelial cells and the TMPRSS gene, that is, which is androgen dependent, which facilitate a SARS-CoV-2 binding with ACE2. 3. Women may be protected from the SARS-CoV-2 infections, which may be due to the immune advantage. Thank you for the listening.